thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. This episode is presented by preaching minister Josh Yeager. Let's tune in now for Josh's message.
Good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to be here. Just want to real quickly here at the beginning call your attention to the fact that everybody needs a bulletin because the insert inside is very important this morning. So I have a couple guys on each side here that I said be ready to hand out a bulletin. So is there anybody that did not get a bulletin with a handout? If you guys could just make sure that everybody gets one. Just keep your hands up until you get one because like I said, they are very important. We're in day 36 of our 50 days of Unleashing Hope, and so we are, today we're kind of on the descent, and next week we will take it into a landing. So I've been excited. This has been an awesome series. I've really enjoyed it, and like I said at the beginning, this series really speaks to me. This series has been something that has been very impactful for me. A lot of times people think that, you know, preachers just get up to preach to everybody else, and the reality is most of the time we get up and preach to ourselves. And today's lesson is one of those lessons that I need to hear really bad. It's very, very important that I hear this lesson. This morning we're talking about replacing burnout with balance. Replacing burnout with balance. I love some of the scriptures that we, or some of the way the psalmist put it. These aren't on the screen, but the psalmist writes, "You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest." Psalm 139, verse 3, where to stop and rest. And I love Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Some of us need to be still. What does burnout look like? You ever seen burnout in your life? Take a look at this video. Yeah, I think maybe you'll see it a little bit. How long do you think that guy can keep that up? How long? Maybe an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours? The reality is a lot of us, that is what our lives look like. We're trying to spin all these plates. We're trying to keep everything going. We're trying to just, you know, go, 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 go. But the reality is we can't keep it up. I mean, just like that guy, he might be able to do it for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. He might be able to do it all day. But eventually, he's going to crash and burn. Have you ever felt like a plate spinner in your life where you just have all these plates in the air, all these things in the air, and you're trying to get it all done? You're trying to make sure everything keeps going and you don't want to let anything drop. You know, the interesting thing about the U.S. is that we are becoming an extremely busy society. We're becoming extremely busy. In fact, if you look at some of the most recent polls, there's some incredible statistics that are out there right now for the U.S. today. First of all, 86% of Americans feel chronically stressed out. 86%. That's crazy. That's almost 9 out of 10. I mean, that is incredible. 62% of Americans say, I am critically close to burnout. They just say, I'm about to give it all up. I'm about to just throw in the towel. I'm almost done. 59% of Americans feel a desperate need to slow down. 59%, that's more than 1 out of 2. They just say, man, I take a look at my life and it is just, it's a mess. It's so full. I need to slow down. I need to stop. On average, people sleep 2.5 hours less each night than they did 100 years ago. Isn't that incredible? I mean, that's just an average statistic. On average, people sleep 2.5 hours less each night than 100 years ago. In fact, it's statistics like this that kind of lead to what USA Today writes about the American people. USA Today writes, today, people are souped up, stressed out, overscheduled. In this brave new world, boundaries between work and family are disappearing. Everyone is mobile, and every moment of the day is scheduled with daycare, school, after-school activities, and 10 to 12-hour work days. This pressure cooker lifestyle is so rare that anthropologists are now studying it to see how it affects us. You see, we are busier in today's world than we've ever been in humanity. I mean, we are one of the busiest societies, and it's actually not normal. This is not a normal human thing. Okay, this is a American culture thing. This is a Western world culture thing. And anthropologists don't know how this is going to affect us because they haven't seen it in the past. And so the people who study humans, anthropologists, they're looking at and they're studying the effects of this busyness on the lives of Americans. You know, all you got to do is walk up to somebody and say, hey, how's your family? You know, hey, how you doing? Oh, we're great. We're good. We have ballet on Tuesday and Thursday. We have church on Sunday and Wednesday. We have soccer practice on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Then we have games and recitals on Saturday. And then my kids are busy with their homework. I mean, every minute is full. We're great. Isn't that what you hear? Everybody's like, yeah, and we're full. And then it's like, oh, what are you doing this summer? Are you taking some rest? Oh, no. We got every day packed with, you know, camping trips and vacations. And, you know, I mean, some people come back from vacations and they're more worn out than they were when they left because you got to pack every minute full of something. There's a story that Luke tells us in the life of Jesus that I think addresses this issue incredibly well. Now remember, Luke is writing from, he talked to the eyewitnesses. Luke is not writing from an eyewitness perspective, but he talked to the eyewitnesses. In fact, he probably talked to the very people that he is about to tell us about in his gospel in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. So let's just jump in here and read what Luke says. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? I mean, just listen to her voice. You know exactly what it sounds like. Tell her to help me. Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, I want you to hear me say this real quickly, okay? This story is not telling us that we don't need to do anything, okay? This story isn't telling us that we just need to come and we need to sit in church and we just need to go, all the time, okay? That's not what this story is telling us. In fact, this story is surrounded by, in the first part of chapter 10, Jesus sends out the 72 people, two by two, to go out and proclaim the coming of the good news, to heal the sick, and to do something, to serve and do something. And that story is followed by the parable of the Good Samaritan. And that's the parable right before what we're reading here in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. So the parable of the Good Samaritan says that, hey, you're supposed to treat people, you're supposed to be a neighbor to people. You're supposed to neighbor people. You're supposed to take care of people. It doesn't matter who they are. You take care of them. You act, you do things. And so Jesus isn't saying that action, that service like Martha's doing is unimportant. In fact, a lot of times we ask the question, well, who should we be? Should we be Mary? Should we be Martha? And we're like, oh, well, Jesus wants us to be Mary and just sit at Jesus' feet. No, if you ask that question, are we supposed to be Mary or Martha? The answer is yes. We are supposed to be both Mary and Martha. We are to sit at the feet of Jesus. We are to serve. And so that's not really the right question. But the best thing that we get from this passage is that there has to be a balance between sitting at the feet of Jesus and service. And when we look at this story of Martha, we can see that Martha is effective, right? She's effective. She's getting the meal prepared. She's taking care of her guests. She's making sure that she's the perfect host and everybody is cared for. But she's miserable. I mean, she's not getting to enjoy Jesus being in her house. I mean, think about it. You as a Christian, you have access to the God of the universe through the sacrifice that Jesus made. You have that access. He is in your house, so to speak. He is there. And so many of us, we are effective in our lives, but we're miserable because we're not connected to Jesus. Martha is effective and she's miserable. She's also successful and she's stressed out. I mean, she's successful. She's doing what she wants to do, but she's stressed out, so stressed out that she is calling, you know, trying to pass her stress on to Mary. In fact, I think we can see in this is just kind of a common sense thing. We can see that there's kind of five results from being successful but stressed. First of all, you're more hurried. You're more hurried. Okay, you're more hurried. And you try to push that, just like Martha did, you try to push that on everybody around you. You ever been around somebody like that? That's just like, hurry, 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 get this done, get this done, get this done. And pretty soon your entire environment surrounding you is all stressed out and hurried and everybody's like, yeah, because somebody is successful, but they're stressed. Number two, less joy. Like I said, Mary or Martha had the Lord in her house. She didn't get to enjoy him. She didn't get to sit there and just enjoy being in the presence of Jesus. A lot of times we ask, well, I wish I had a warning light. I wish I had a warning light for, you know, whether I'm getting too busy or whether I'm about to burn out. And let me tell you what the warning light is. And God gave us this incredible warning light, and that is that you lose your joy. When you lose joy in life, when you are no longer joyful. Joyful isn't happiness, okay? You can be joyful in the midst of trials. You can be joyful in the midst of difficult times. You can be joyful no matter what's going on. But when you lose your joy, when you no longer enjoy what you're doing, the purpose that you have in your life, that is most likely an indication that your life is getting close to burnout. Results from being successful but stressed. Number three, you become less productive. You know, for me, I've had moments in ministry like this where I am so stressed, I am so burdened, and I walk into my office and I just go, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be around this person. I don't want to talk to people. I just want to stay home and in bed. And sometimes I'll sit there, and especially when you have a job like mine that kind of requires creative juices, okay? I'll sit there in front of my computer and I'll just kind of go, I'll type something, and then I'll erase it. And I'll type something, and then I'll erase it. I'll read the Bible. Nothing comes. I mean, that's what happens when we become so stressed, when we're successful, but we're stressed. Number four, we're less connected to God. We're less connected to God. Like I said, Martha was in the presence of Jesus, but she wasn't connected to him. We are in the presence of God all day long. We have been given that access. And yet, when we become stressed, we lose our connection to God. And number five, we become disconnected from our family. Because we walk into our house and all we can think about is work. Or all we can think about is this. And all we can think about is that. And we can't focus. We can't focus on our family. We may be available. We may be there physically. But our minds, our hearts are not there. Ray Johnston, the guy who wrote the book, The Hope Quotient, which is what we're kind of using as our basis for this entire series, he tells a story about the first time he put together a leadership conference. And he was, you know, really excited because this is his first time on a big scale to bring together, you know, a bunch of people. And there were people that attended this conference that he respected and that he looked up to. And he was so excited they were going to be there. And on the last day of the conference, you know, with the big worship service, it's kind of like the culmination of everything. It brings everything together that's been going on the entire week. And he's like, man, this better be good. You know, if it's not good, I could lose my job, or, you know, people may not want me to play in something like this. It better be good. And Jim Burns, he was the speaker. If you know anything about Jim Burns, he's kind of a well-known name, especially in the youth ministry circles and in leadership circles. If you're interested in church leadership. Jim Burns gets up, and his opening statement is, 15 years ago when I started my ministry, I almost wrecked my life because I had an affair. And Ray Johnson was like, oh no, what's going to happen with this? You know, and he says, but it wasn't with a woman. He's like, oh no, now I'm really in trouble. And he's like, it wasn't with a man either, okay? He said, it was with my job. He had an affair with his job. And if you know Jim Burns, he's a minister. He's somebody who does ministry on a professional level. He said, it was with my job. When our dreams are completely and totally focused on our jobs or on some other aspect of life, and when all of our energy is focused on our jobs or some other aspect of life, and when all of our thoughts are about our jobs and or some other aspect of our life, and when our focus is on our job, we can no longer focus or dream or think about the people around us or the place that God has called us to. You know, this has really spoken to me because I have dreams for 10th and Broad, okay? I have dreams and hopes, and I want to see incredible things happen here. But as I was preparing this lesson, I asked myself, what are my dreams for my family? What am I thinking about for my family? Where's my focus? Where's my energy being devoted to? You see, we have to answer those questions. And I heard somebody say one time that if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy because it will have the same effect. If Satan can't get you to do the wrong thing, he'll just get you doing, he'll get you busy doing things that aren't necessarily bad, but keep you from doing what God wants you to do, but keep you from doing what God has called you to do. And so this morning, I wanted to just ask ourselves some questions. And these are going to be tough. Let me tell you, I'm not asking these questions flippantly, because these are questions that I asked myself this week, or actually I've been asking myself these questions for, you know, several weeks as I've been preparing these messages. And I'll be honest, I have been wrestling and struggling with these questions. And so I just want to share four questions with you this morning that I hope will lead you to a place where maybe you can get some balance and move away from the burnout if that is the case for your life. First question is this: is my pace of life out of control? Is my pace of life out of control? Luke 10:40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She was distracted by all the preparations. Her pace of life was out of control. She couldn't stop herself from getting all, from being focused on all the preparations and getting, and she was out of control and she was upset. Now, I want us to take a little test, and this is where the bulletin comes in this morning. Okay, this isn't the right one. Anyway, this is where the bulletin, okay. Get your little handout out right there, and there's a pace of life index, okay? There's a pace of life index, and you are going to take a test this morning. You didn't know you were going to take a test this morning at church, did you? You're going to take a test this morning, and here's the way you score it. There's going to be a statement or a question, and you write down, if it's an always or usually thing for you, you write down 5. If it's a sometimes thing for you, like sometimes it's true, thank you. Here it is, yeah. So pull out your bulletin there and get your little hand out, and right there, okay. If it's sometimes, you write down a 3. If it's seldom or never, you write down a 1, okay. So I'm just going to read the question. It's in there. It's not going to be on the screen. It's in your little handout thing there. And I just want you to score yourself, okay? All right, number 1. Do you tend to fill every minute, then strain to get it all done? Okay. Is it always or usually? 5. Is it sometimes? 3. Seldom or never? 1. Okay. Do you hate to wait in line? Score yourself. Number 3. Do you eat faster than other people around you? Our youth minister in Cordell did this. I would take my first bite and I'd look over at him and he was done. I mean, it's just the way it always was. Number 4, do you drive faster than the speed limit? You drive faster than the speed limit. Number 5, do you find yourself overcommitted, wondering if you will get it all done? Okay, look at me just for a minute. How many of you went ahead and finished questions ahead of me? How many people? Okay. If you did that, there's a bonus down there. Give yourself 5 points on the bonus. Okay, keep looking at me. How many people found my typo and corrected it? Anybody? You get 5 more. That was an on-purpose typo. Alice Joy tried to fix it on me. I said, "You didn't fix my typo, did you?" And she's like, "Yes, I did." And I was like, "No, don't fix the typo. It's on purpose." Okay. Number 6. Do your spouse or children have to say your name repeatedly before you hear them? 5, 3, or 1. Do you find yourself thinking about other things during a conversation? 8. Do you walk fast? I worked maintenance at Oklahoma Christian University all the way 4 years through my undergrad, and the maintenance guy that I worked under, he was the fastest walker I've ever seen in my life. He was no taller than me. He had this, he was just kind of all belly and then these really skinny legs. But I mean, the guy just, he just booked it. He was just, whoop, 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 whoop. I was like, slow down, my goodness. You know, OC is not about to fire you, I don't think. 9, do you have to ask people to repeat themselves? That was a misspelled word, by the way. Because your mind wanders. You're talking to somebody and they're saying stuff, but you're not really hearing it because you're thinking about something else. 10, do you become irritable when something goes wrong or gets added to your plate? 5, 3, or 1. 11, do you become impatient with clerks and service people? Waiters, waitresses, okay, something like that. 12, do you find it hard to unwind and relax? 13, do you clench your jaw or fists regularly? All right, now, total up your score. Hopefully you can do math, all right? I've been removed from math for a long time, and I actually totaled mine twice just to make sure I got it right. But go ahead and total up your score. I'll give you a second. Everybody done? Nod your head up and down if you're done. Shake your head to the no if you're, are you done? Okay, all right. Let's start in the middle. Let's find out who are the low ones on the scale. Okay, if you had a 30 or below, raise your hand. How many people, 30 or below? Okay, 25 and below. Keep your hands up. 25 and below, I still see, okay, 20 and below. I see 1, 2, okay. Is there only 2? Okay, how about a 19 and below? Still up? Are you the only one up? Is she the only one? Okay, come on up here. I'll come to you. Okay. I just got you a Red Bull because I think you need a little bit of excitement. There you go. That was just a joke, okay? All right. But the next one is not. How many people were above 30? Raise your hand. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's go 40 or above. 50 or above. 55 or above. 60 or above. How about 65 or above? Oh, my goodness. You know, the top score was 75. 68 or above. Okay, 67. What was your score back? Debo, where was Debo? What was your score, Debo? 65? You were 66. Anybody above 66? Anybody? Okay, come on up here. Okay, this is a stress ball. Oh, somebody else was higher? Carla? What were you, Carla? What was your score? Oh my goodness, all right. Okay, Carla, come on up here. All right, this is a stress ball. And this is a teddy bear. Because you need to just snuggle down and take a nap, okay? All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, just so you know, that was not scientific at all. Those were just questions, okay? But the reality is that some of us are stressed out. The majority, when I said 30 and above, I mean the majority of the people here raised their hands. The reality is many of us are stressed out beyond what we need to be stressed out to. And so the question is your pace of life out of control? Is your pace of life out of control? Are you going, and you just never have time to stop? That brings me to question number two. Am I dropping the right balls? Am I dropping the right balls? Luke 10:42, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. You see, there are times when we have to choose between what is good and what is better. There's times that we have to choose to let some balls drop. You know, there's a thing about this. You know, some balls, you know, they kind of bounce back, right? You know, if you don't get your car serviced at the right time, okay, your car will bounce back. And even if your car doesn't bounce back, you can buy a new car. Sure, it's expensive, but it's not going to destroy you, okay? It'll bounce back. You can let your yard work go for a week or two. And yes, it will be a little bit more work next time, but it'll bounce back. You can maybe miss a week of exercise. Okay, and you might have a hard time getting back into it, but your fitness will bounce back, and you'll be all right. Maybe you don't get to go to your weekly coffee time with a friend or with a group of friends or whatever. It'll bounce back. You know, you'll be okay. But there are some things that if we drop them, they will be damaged. There's some things that if we drop them, they would be hurt. If we drop our marriage, you may never get it back. If we drop our relationship with our kids, you may never get them back. If you try to pass immature faith on to your kids, because you never ask the hard questions of your faith, they may become an atheist or an agnostic because you tried to pass something on to them that was meant to answer questions in elementary, but not to answer questions from adult perspective, because you let your relationship with God drop. There are some things in life that we cannot afford to drop. There are other things in life that we can drop and that we should drop at the right time, because it will bounce back and it will come back to us. Jesus looked at Martha and said, Mary has chosen what is better. Mary has chosen what is better. Not that what you're doing, Martha, is wrong. The service and all that stuff, it's not wrong. But Mary has chosen what is better. There are times when we should drop the ball that is not very important in order to hold on to the glass ball of our marriage, or in order to hold on to the glass ball of our relationship with our kids, or to hold on to the glass ball of our relationship with God and our growth and maturity as a disciple of Jesus. There are times in life when we must let other balls drop. I've skipped this on Joanne. the main things that we're juggling are work, friends, family, faith, and health. Those are the main things that the majority of us are juggling, trying to keep up in the air. And, you know, it's so interesting to me how oftentimes people, you know, they hold on to the things that are kind of concrete. You know, they like to keep their yard looking immaculate. They like to keep their car waxed and vacuumed out. And they like to, you know, do this. They like to do this, you know, and they like to do all those concrete things. But when it gets to, you know, the time with family or the time with friends or the time with God, those things that are kind of less concrete, you know, those things that you can't do at once and you see an immediate effect, right? I mean, if you focus on holding on to that ball with your kids, if you do it one day, you're not going to notice a difference in one day. But if you do it for the entirety of their childhood, it's going to make a difference. If you hold on to that glass ball of your marriage, it's not going to make a difference for one day. But if you hold on to it for the entirety of your married life together, your life will be different. And your marriage will be changed. The reality is we have balls in our life that must be dropped because they will bounce back. Number three, do I ever relax? Do I ever relax? Martha doesn't slow down. You see that? Martha doesn't slow down. I have a feeling that this is her personality. This is what she does. This is where she goes. Kind of a watershed moment for my life was about a year ago. Our church in Cordell had just gotten the Right Now Media stuff that 10th and Broad also has. If you don't know what Right Now Media is, you should probably email somebody. It's a resource that's available to everybody in the church, okay? But our church in Cordell, we had just gotten the Right Now Media, and I was suspecting that I was nearing burnout. I mean, I was looking at my life. I was noticing a lot of these things that I shared with you earlier. Even though I didn't realize and I didn't connect them with burnout, I was just suspecting that, hey, I'm almost burned out. And so I got on this Right Now Media and I typed in burnout. And what I found was an interview between Andy Stanley, he's one of my favorite preachers, and Rick Warren. Most of you probably know who Rick Warren is. He's the preaching pastor at Saddleback Community Church in California. And Andy Stanley asked Rick Warren, how do you keep from burning out? And Rick shared this advice with the audience there. They were at a conference that literally changed my life. I mean, it literally changed my life because I never relaxed. I never slowed down. I would be working on vacations. I never took days off. I mean, I would take like, you know, I'd work three or four hours in the morning. I'd get up super early at like 5 a.m. to work on my days off. That was my constant life. I was always working. I was putting in 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week because there's just so much. If you're in ministry, you just can see all this stuff that needs to be done. And you just want to keep doing it. You just want to keep going because it's there to do. And so I was working incredible hours. I was never relaxing. And this advice that Rick Warren gave in this talk literally changed my life. And this is what he said. He said, number one, divert daily. Divert daily. He said he has a little milk jug that he puts at the door of his house. And he walks home, he walks out of the office, and he just figuratively takes everything out of his pockets, okay, all the things that he's been thinking about, and he just drops it in that milk jug, and he doesn't think about it again that day when he walks into his house. Divert daily. And this isn't just good advice. This is something that we see as an example in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7, where Moses writes to the people of Israel, he says, "Hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and make sure that you write these commands on your hearts." And this is what he says in verse 7, "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." Here's the thing, you can't do that. You can't impress on your children a lively and mature faith if you don't divert daily. If you don't push off all that stuff that you've been thinking about in the morning or in the day, you can't do that. You can't come to church and be an encouragement or an inspiration to the people here if you're holding on to all that work stuff, if you're not diverting, if you're not shoving all that stuff out the window for a little while and not thinking about it. Divert daily. Number two, he said, withdraw weakly. And once again, this is a very important biblical truth. You know, a lot of times we don't like to hold on to the Old Testament, but in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, Moses talks about the practice of Sabbath. He talks about the practice of Sabbath. You know, a lot of times we're like, well, the Old Testament isn't binding on us anymore. What did Paul say to Timothy? All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All scripture, okay? When Paul wrote that, he wasn't even talking about what he was writing. He was talking about the Old Testament. I think it can be applied to what he was writing. But when Paul used it, that phrase, when Paul used that teaching, he was talking about the Old Testament. Practice Sabbath. Take a day to just stop working. Just stop working. Most people on their days off, they're getting all their household chores done. And they never truly get a day of Sabbath where you can focus on God and you can focus on family and friends and community and the community of faith. And here's the thing, if you don't have enough time to take a day every week and just let go of it, you're headed for burnout or you're at burnout. Fourth command that Moses gives the people from God. And then number three, abandon annually. Abandon annually. And once again, this is founded in scripture because as we read about the life cycle of the Jews, as we read about the history of these people that God called to be his and God called to be his covenant community of people, he gave them two festivals. Now, there were several festivals that they celebrated every year, but there was two festivals that lasted for 7 days. And they were to not do work. They were to get out of the fields, get away from their places of business. Everything in all of Jerusalem and all of the land was to stop. And they would abandon so that they could go and worship God and remember what he had done in their lives. They did it two times a year. I'm asking you to just do it at least once a year. Abandon annually. Abandon all the stuff that you're thinking about, that you're processing, and that you're wanting to get done in whatever area of your life. Abandon and take time to focus on God. Take time to rejuvenate and rebuild and energize. And like I said, this advice has changed my life. Now I take 2 days off a week. Take 2 days off a week. One day is kind of focused on trying to get some stuff done. The second day, I mean, it doesn't always work out this way, okay? You can ask my wife, but one day is usually focused on, I try to just be present with my kids and be present with my family. One day I really try to get some things done around the house, but the other day is focused on just withdrawing. Changed my life, and I think it might change yours. If you struggle to relax, if you struggle to pull back from all the stuff. Question number four, am I living a disconnected life? Am I living a disconnected life? Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. That's what Mary did. She sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. She was connected to Jesus. She was connected to her Lord. She was connected to who would soon be her Savior. A lot of times we connect to the wrong things to relieve our burdens. Because if you look at our lives, if you look at American society, there's all these labor-saving devices that we like to grab onto and say, oh, this is going to save me time. This is going to save me time. You know, we got washing machines and printers and cars and tillers and mowers and stoves and irons and computers and cell phones. I mean, you can just go on and on and on. All the labor-saving devices that we grab onto. And we have all the labor-saving services as well, right? I mean, we have the fast food, the automotive care, yard services, cooks, nannies, house cleaners. You know, you just go down the list, all the things that we're trying to do to save time in our lives. And a lot of times we grab onto that stuff, but we miss, especially if you're a Jesus follower, we miss the most important person. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew's gospel. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Can you drop the balls and realize it's gonna be okay? Things are gonna work out. And you know what? If you can't drop the balls, then maybe you don't need to be in that job anyway. Then maybe you don't need to be in that situation anyway. If you can't drop it and it be okay for a little while, then maybe that's not what you need anyway. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. He wants to give us rest. He wants to give us rejuvenation and rebuild us. And he talks about in the very next verse that he has a yoke and a burden, and it's easy and it's light. If you're a Christian and you are carrying this massive burden on yourself, that is not the way Jesus intended for your life to be. He didn't intend for you to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. And so where do you sit in this lesson? Do you sit in burnout? Or do you sit in balance? It's an incredibly important question. Where do you sit? Because here's what I want to share with you. Your path is headed somewhere. Your path is headed somewhere. Every path leads to a place. And you can't get on that path and say, well, everybody else that's gotten on the road to Denton, Texas, went to Denton, Texas. I'm not going to go to Denton, Texas. Even though I'm on the road, I'm not going to go there. Because I'm different. Roads don't apply to me. It doesn't work. If you are on the path to burnout, if you are losing joy, if you are wrestling with purpose in life, you're on the road to burnout. You might already be there. And so the question is, where do you sit? And what do you need to do in your life to change it? What do you need to do in your life to be present in the presence of God, to be present in the presence of your family? What do you need to do to be present in the lives of your church family? Because that's what we're called to do as Christians. And so I'm going to ask you this morning to pray a dangerous prayer. And I'm serious, this is dangerous. Because I want you to, I want to forget this whole prayer idea of, Lord, help me. Just help me, Lord, help me do this, help me do that. Because when we say help me, we're still talking about our strength. We're still holding on to the ball. You know, it's in my court. I want us to pray instead, make me. Because when we say, make me, we hand the ball off to God. And now he has the freedom. We're submitting to him to do something in our lives that will change us. Okay, it's not about help me, it's about make me. First thing I want to, if what you need to pray, pray for God to make you slow down. Say, God, make me slow down. My pace of life is out of control. I just don't even know where to go. I'm just busy all the time. I'm like Martha. La, 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 la. And you're passing that busyness off to everybody else. Make me slow down, God. Number two, make me value the right things in my life. Make me value the right things in my life. And you know why that's dangerous? Because that means that God might take some things out of your life that you value. And maybe he's going to reveal something to you in your life that you need to take out of your life because you value it, but it's not valuable to God. It's not valuable to your family. It's not valuable in the grand scheme of things. Make me value the right things in my life. Number three, make me relax. Make me divert daily. Make me withdraw weekly. Make me abandon annually. Step back. Step back. So that you can focus on God. And so that you can grow. and you can become more intimate with Him and with the relationships that matter most. And number four, connect me to Jesus, the bearer of burdens. Connect me to Jesus, the bearer of burdens. We need it. We need somebody to bear our burden. We cannot carry it on our own. We were not created to bear our burdens on our own. Thankful for that. Thankful for that. So this morning, you may be at a place in your life where this speaks directly to you. And let me just tell you something. Do not leave here this morning. You know, in a moment, we're going to have some elders and ministers over here in the alcove, my left, your right. And they're here to minister to you. They're here to pray with you. They're here to help you, hold you accountable. If there are some things in here that speak to you and that you want to change in your life, go and talk to those men who love you. They don't want to hear your dirt. They do, but they're not going to go and spread around. They don't want to hear it because they want to be like, you know, they're not like that. They want to minister to you. They want to love you. They want to serve you. They want to help you grow in your relationship with Christ. And let me tell you something. In America, we need this message. We need this message. We need to slow down. We need to value the right things in life. We need to relax. And we need to connect to Christ, the bearer of our burdens. So Clint's going to lead us in a song. And after that song, I would encourage us just to spend a time of silence in prayer. You can pray with somebody. You can pray with a group. You can pray silently by yourself. I would just encourage you to pray and to pray 1, 2, 3, 4 of these dangerous prayers and see what God unleashes in your life. Let's stand and sing. Be still.